a warm welcome to the Blue Tune Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. On this week's episode, we look back on Saturday's thumping win over Elgin City, preview this weekend's trip to Forfa, and we take a closer look at one of the summer signings who has already made an impact on the team. Yes, welcome along to this week's episode of the Blue Tune Podcast. I am Colin Byers, and with me, as ever, Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you this week?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you, Colin?
I'm not too bad. That's just Halloween month already.
Just
a week time for the Christmas countdowns.
Oh, you've mentioned the C word. Oh, no, I thought we'd get a few more episodes in before you mentioned the C word.
Well, I was just going to say, it's fun to start heading our bounty debate again like we did last year.
Oh, no, then I'd go for the bounty debate.
What a weekend. Sport-wise, really a lot of stuff happening over the weekend. Got to say, well done to the European team. Absolutely thumping victory over the US. And I think it was pretty much like the Elgin game as we're going to speak about here. It was pretty much over and dusted pretty quickly after that Friday morning.
I think it was pretty much done on Friday, wasn't it? All bar the shouting, but they continued the good form into Saturday. And yeah, were they winners? They steamrolled it, didn't they?
It was, I think it's been a long time since the Americans have actually won on European soil as well.
I can see why.
30 years, it's bizarre how they kind of seem to work as a team. A lot of good individuals, but just kind of seem to work as a team. Whereas, you've got somebody like Warren, Bob, who had making his debut, played really well. I actually thought he was going to be the weak link of the team, but was actually, I think he played out his skin.
I think he was one of the better ones, to be honest. I seen a photo on Twitter of the team. You seen the Americans, how they were, the tension in the camp. There was a gap between them, the two European lads, arms around each other, ready to go. And, you know, sometimes you say a picture paints a thousand words. I think you could really tell the difference in the mood in both camps, as well as the tension amongst the players. So, no, I thought Europe were brilliant.
Any thoughts on Strictly or the Bake Off this week?
Can I comment on Bake Off, but Strictly, I think it was a foregone conclusion. I want to say far left in case somebody hasn't watched it. But like I said last week, but no surprise, shall we say.
I wasn't surprised, but I was surprised that we didn't get the votes to keep him in, because normally that kind of thing, he would maybe last a couple of weeks before he get punted. But no, I think it was pretty much a foregone conclusion, as you said.
Yeah, I think he's maybe there for, you maybe get a couple of weeks for the entertainment factor, but I think if it was to go personally doing it to Dunson, yeah, I can see why he's gone already.
Right, so let's go on to Saturday's game against Elgin, which it turns out to be a thumping win, as we said earlier on with the Ryder Cup, but it was pretty much game over within the first 5 minutes, literally. We were two up, and it was... it didn't flatter us really either, the scoreline. I don't think it, as well. I mean, it could have been six, it could have been seven, it could have been eight, really, to be honest with you.
Yeah, like you said, I think also the two early goals right at the start of the game sort of settled any nerves that might have been there. You're playing against an Elgin team who we thought might have been stuffy, we thought they might have made it hard for us, a wee bit more difficult. But as much as we were good, I thought Elgin were really, really poor. It was the worst Elgin team I've seen in a long, long time coming to Balmoor. But nonetheless, you can only beat what's put in front of you. And yeah, as you said, I think if the game got a couple more goals in it, we had a few more chances that we didn't take, then yeah, then I think it would have flattered us, to be honest.
You look at the result, and I wasn't overly surprised by it, to be honest with you, because I think that result has been coming because the performances have been there in the last sort of 3 or 4 weeks. But I just didn't think we've been being clinical enough in front of goal. You know, look at the amount of chances we got against Annan, look at the amount of chances we had against Dumbarton, Bonnyrigg as well. So it's been sort of bubbling under the surface. And I think it was just one of those games where everything just went for us. And so I wasn't overly surprised, you know, leaving there as a 6-0. It wasn't too much of a surprise. And again, we look at the amount of shots that we had on target. we could have easily bagged more.
I think you're right, yeah. I think that score line has sort of been coming. I think the bonus was we got the two early goals. I think it really settled us down. I think it probably, you knew Elgin were in for a long afternoon. I think their heads really dropped after the second goal. You can go 1-0 down, you can certainly come back to it. 2, it's a lot more difficult, especially the form that they're on as well. And yeah, it was one of them games, you felt that an early goal was going to be crucial for both sides in terms of how Elgin would adapt, how we would go on to build on it. And yeah, really pleased. It was a nice early goal. I thought we'd built on it. As you rightly said, I don't think if we scored more than 6, it wouldn't have flattered us. But, you know, it's been coming. We said Dumbarton, we had a couple of really good chances in that game, but just didn't quite, you know, get that other goal. But yeah, I thought we were really, really clinical on Saturday.
13 shots, 8 on target, end up with 6 goals. So, I mean, that tells you how clinical we were. And in previous games, I think you're looking at it, Dumbarton with 17, but maybe only 5 on target. Bonnie Reg, there was 7 and 3 on target, things like that. So, you know, as I said, that clinicalness has been maybe bubbling under the surface, and we just really threw it into the swords. And, you know, for the very first minute, really, it was only one-way traffic.
As I said, we had chances in previous games, and we weren't maybe as clinical as we should be. We sort of said to each other, that might be the sort of games that come back to bite you if you didn't get the 3 points, you know, they've been clinical in front of goal. For us on Saturday, it was opposite. Anything that sort of went on target, as you said, 6 goals within 8 shots, sort of tells you how the game went, and we never really looked back once we scored the first.
And at the opposite end as well, another clean sheet. You know, we could probably count how many clean sheets we got last season on one hand, even probably even less than that. But, you know, that's another clean sheet. That's 3 in 4 games now, I think, as well. And a game where Stuart McKenzie's had nearly really much today, had maybe one save, and that's pretty much it. But again, we'll look at the defenders in front of him, Jason Brown, Ryan Strachan, throwing themselves, getting the blocks in, really not sort of sitting back on the laurels, really working hard to get that clean sheet as well.
Yeah, even, you know, 4-5-0 up, the defenders keeping a clean sheet is as good as scoring. Sometimes for these lads, they pride themselves on clean sheets. And like I've said a few times this season, I was critical of Stuart McKenzie when he first came in. I thought he was a wee bit rash at times, but, you know, credit where it's due. Okay, a game he didn't have much to do in, but, you know, he's built that defence in front of him. Ryan and Jason, colossal at the back, give nothing away. And yeah, you know, building on clean sheets, that's a foundation that we need to build on, make things difficult if you're not keeping clean sheets, but we're doing that well just now, and you're hoping that continues as we go on.
So let's look at the 6 goals then, individually. It could take us a wee while. So the first one, Scott Ross scores for a free kick for Joe McKee. It's not really sort of dealt with properly by Eldon, and he's a really good finisher, tidy finish. Into the bottom corner, lashed it in, and just defensively really poor for an Elgin perspective. But obviously for us, getting that vital early goal really set the tone of the game.
Yeah, I'm sure the managers, you know, before the game, Elgin, Barry Smith would have been saying, keep it tight, try and frustrate Peterhead, and Jordan and Ryan would have been saying, look, if you can get that, then get an early goal, you take full control of the game. And thankfully we did, as you said, it was a good free kick in by Joe McKee and Scott Ross with that, almost like a striker's finish, really, as you said, neatly at the bottom corner. And yeah, you could tell he was delighted to get a goal as well.
And it could have been kind of one of 2 or 3 that it could have finished it off. It was just that it landed perfectly at his feet. And as you said, he's tucked it away. And ended up, and I don't care how controversial this is, but it's Jason Brown winning the golf day because he hit the 2 minutes, which I see a few of the comments weren't too happy about, you know, the manager's brother and captain getting the award. But I suppose if they're first down to get it, that's how it goes, I suppose.
It's one of them. You pay your money, you take your chances. It's, you know, also Jason's picked that number, and he's won it. So yeah, I mean, it's a draw. You know, it can't be scripted. You've seen it live as it goes in. So it's one of them things, and it's just whether you want to say it's unfortunate or whether you say it's fortunate. It, you know, Jason's won it, and, you know, credit to him.
It's interesting if he takes as his fourth. because there's obviously it was you plus somebody else could go. So I wonder if Ollie's going to take.
Wonder if he'll take Rory with him.
A couple of bandits with him. Goal two then, 5 minutes, well, sorry, 4 minutes into the game. Rory McAllister getting his first goal back at as a Peterhead player. Again, Joe McHugh's free kick causing all the problems. You watch it live, you wonder why Rory was free at the back post, and really he shouldn't have been, but you watch the highlights back again. Again, you look at it from Eldon's perspective, really poor defending. He's been marked, he makes one movement, the guy doesn't go away him, and he's free at the back post. A really simple header, well picked out by Joe McHugh, and the irony, of course, is the guy who was supposed to be marking was the first to kind of complain, why is he free? So, you know, it might be one of those things to look back on, but good to get that monkey off his back again, get that goal on his return as well.
You can sort of see why Elgin might struggle if the man that's meant to be marking Rory is the first team to complain that he's not marked. But, as you said, it's one movement, but that is the sort of class that Rory's got, that one drop of the shoulder, that one movement left to right, and he can lose his marker. And as you said, yeah, he'll be delighted to get that monkey off his back. He's gone a couple of games since he's back without scoring, doing a lot of good work for the team, a couple of assists, but you know, I'm sure he'll be delighted to get that goal as well.
Yeah, that's I think it's 3 assists and a goal now he's got since his return. So although he's maybe not scoring, he is helping out the team. It's him on 198 now as well. So obviously he'll be keeping an eye on that 200. I think there was an error on the March report that it went out saying it was 199, but it is 198. So he'll be keen to get that 200 sooner rather than later. And you never know; it could be on Saturday. It could be, you know, why not? It could be against Dundee United. You never know.
Oh, it'd be good if it was against Dundee United. But as Rory said a couple of weeks ago, he's quite happy with goal contributions these days rather than always trying to score goals. You know, and I think we as a team and Kieran will benefit from that as well.
I think he was unlucky to get another in later on as well. But I think it's just maybe one of those games where, you know, as you said, he's maybe just happy to just get the one, and that's him. So in the second half, before we really got anything else, I think Elgin hit the side net, and they had a spell. I would say maybe a 5-10 minute spell midway through the first half, where they sort of got back into the game, but without really causing us too many problems. As I said, they hit the side net, and I think that was pretty much it for them in the first half. But I think that defensively we'll look pretty solid.
Yeah, I think they consolidated a wee bit. I think once they'd gone 2-0 down, they realised that this could get pretty embarrassing pretty quickly if they didn't get their act sorted. I think there was maybe about a 10-15 minute spell in the game where didn't I really think we were in the front foot, but I certainly didn't think we were under any problems whatsoever. The closest, as you said, came was the side netting chance. But then, obviously, in the second half, we sort of upped the gears again.
I think Stuart McKenzie probably would have had it covered anyway if it was on target. It was that tight an angle for him anyway. So goal three, Kieran Shanks, played in by Danny Strachan. And Kieran Shanks obviously to take the praise for the goal and a good finish for him inside the 18-yard box, turning the defender one way then the other and slotting it home. But, you know, we sort of praised Danny in the last kind of couple of weeks about his defending and how much he's getting forward. I think this kind of epitomises the confidence he's got at the moment as well. You know, getting that ball in the left-back position, diving forward, getting into the space, not afraid to go forward. But once he's into that position, he's not just sort of panicking and thinking, oh, what am I going to do here? He's actually found a really good, tidy pass, square pass into Kieran's run. And that is all about him building his confidence and becoming, you know, a really good player for us.
Oh, absolutely. I think a couple of months ago, even maybe in pre-season, I don't think Danny would have done that. I think he's got that confidence for the clean sheets as well that he's played in the games. I think he's also got that freedom and luxury to be allowed to go forward, especially in the home games. And he's worried so much about fits behind him, but go and try and affect the game in a positive manner going forward. And I think he got the rewards of that on Saturday, as you said, good ball across. You know, and Kieran's managed to finish off with a good bit of movement as well.
And it was, you know, an interesting point you made during the game about Danny and Jordan Armstrong sitting on the bench, an actual left back. And I wonder if his him playing the way he's playing, because he knows if he doesn't play well, Jordan's there to come back in again. Or if it's just a case of that he's got that kind of luxury of, I'm not sort of fighting for my place, or I'm not fighting for a contract, or I need to impress the managers. All these kind of things are in his favour now.
Yeah, probably. Things are a lot more relaxed around the club now. I think last season things were probably, especially going into the turn of the year, things would have been almost uptight. Everybody worried about that relegation, whereas we now know what's happened. We're in League Two, and I think Danny's got that luxury in terms of he's allowed to go and express himself at times, whereas last season maybe slightly more restricted. And I know he's playing at left back. I think he's a better right back than he is left back, but nevertheless he's at left back now, and he's keeping a natural left foot player in Jordan Armstrong out the side. So that shows you how well he's doing in a so-called weaker foot of his. But he's able to get forward, and when he's putting in performances like he did on Saturday, it'd be very difficult to drop him even in favour of a natural left back.
But also, not just last season, but the season before under Jim McAnally, I think too often he was perhaps in and out the team, maybe playing positions that he wasn't used to, or kind of was coming naturally to him. And although he was always in and around the team, he was never really a regular. Whereas this season, Jordan and Ryan have got the confidence in him, and he's already repaying that confidence with him.
I think we've said a few times over the last couple of years that Danny's one of them players that will benefit from two things, and one of them's confidence, the other one's a run of games. And I think at the moment he's got both, where he's got the confidence, he's getting the run of games in the squad, and he's benefiting from it. And I think when you've got a player like Danny and the way he goes about his game, and that trying to get up and doing that left-hand side, and we benefit from it. It's the same reason on the right-hand side. He gives you that engine to go up and doing. We mentioned it a couple of weeks ago when Jordan Brown was on the right-hand side, and he kept coming inside, and he gave Danny a lot of work to do doing that right-hand flank. But he was able to do it really comfortably, and I think we're benefiting and seeing the best of him just now.
Scott Ross got his second of the game to make it 4-0. Joe McKee, once again, quite heavily involved.
There's a pattern here, isn't
there? Yeah, there is a heavy pattern. His corner found that Scott Ross, again, unmarked. You'd be tearing your hair out if you're Barry Smith, but again, easy finish for him. Headed it back across where it came from, to make 2-0. Probably, he was probably just as surprised as anybody else. He was on a hat-trick at that stage.
And I think Maceball on the ground would have been surprised that Scott Ross was in a hat-trick, but again, it's a really good ball in for Joe McKee. It's something we've been moaning last season, even the season before, that we're set pieces going forward were pretty poor, and we've now got a man in Joe McKee who's able to supply us. Three out of four goals so far has come through a Joe McKee assist. And Scott Ross, he gets up above his man, he puts it in the back of the net, and yeah, we go 4-0 up, and there's no way Elgin were coming back from that.
And it's the same with his first one. It could have been kind of one of two or three that could have got in the header, because there's so much confidence in the team at that stage. They're all looking to get on the score sheet. They're looking to get the goals.
Yeah, and we say once we start scoring goals and we get the confidence in the team, then there's a lot of good quality in that squad, and we're starting to see it come to fruition now. Two games back to back where we've kept clean sheets, seven goals in that time as well. So things are looking really good at the moment.
Yeah, goal five was for the penalty spot. Any sort of lingering doubts that maybe wasn't a penalty, any question marks over it? I think it probably was pretty straightforward.
I think it was a straightforward aim, yeah. I don't know how the referee was that bad on Saturday, to be fair.
Let's mark out him, dude.
I've got nothing in my notes to say the referee was poor, unless somebody can tell me otherwise. I've got nothing written down for Saturday night that would suggest he was poor. I think that was a clear-cut penalty.
Yeah, it was, again, Hamish Ritchie had come off the bench by this time, Hamish Ritchie being Hamish Ritchie, actually played centre midfield at that stage, rather than the previous kind of couple of weeks. He's come off and he's played on the wing, but he's played through the middle, and he was just making darting runs into the middle. His skill and his pace just beats the defenders, and I think there was a question mark why it was only a yellow and not a red, but I think there's something to do with he's made a genuine attempt for the ball rather than it being a cynical one.
Yeah, I think it goes back to that double jeopardy rule where you've seen he's tried to make a genuine attempt for the ball, so they won't give a penalty and a red card. Mm-hmm. But you know, as we've seen, and if you've seen over the last 48 years in the Premier League, just because there's a rule there doesn't mean it'll be implemented well. But yeah, I think it's a double jeopardy rule.
And Shank's got the confidence again, stepping up for the penalty spot, and he looks a lot more confident now, looks sharper these days as well.
I don't think there was ever any doubt once Kieran, you know, the penalty was given, that Kieran would be taking the penalty. Well, Kane, that Rory's watching from the back, saying if you miss a penalty, I'll be on them. But the confidence he's got now, with the two of them playing up top, I don't think there was ever doubt he was going to miss it.
And Kieran was heavily involved with the final goal, the sixth goal. Richie with a header. To be fair to Kieran, for, this was happening right in front of me, so I actually thought he was going to go down for to get another penalty. Whether or not he would have gotten another penalty, it looked as though that was the way it was going to go. But you know, he did well, beat his man, then beat the keeper, and for the basically the byline, managed to get a good cross in, and Hamish with the determination to get there to win the header and make it 6-0. And again, you know, just a few minutes earlier, he had a shot which was saved by the keeper. So you know, we'll look at that. He got his header, but again, good play by Kieran Shanks.
Yeah, good play being rewarded. Obviously, he got his two goals, but he got an assist as well. He's working hard for the team, even late on in the dying embers of the game. He's willing to take on his man, got to the byline, and Hamish Ritchie in the right place at the right time. And again, third game in a row, come off the bench, and he's gotten involved in the action.
And maybe the only negative we'll say is the shocking decision to take off Scott Ross for he's on a hat trick, and I think Jordan maybe mentioned it in his post match as well. Irony, of course, is within about 2 or 3 minutes after that they get the penalty. Nice saying Scott Ross would have been taking the penalty to get his hat trick right enough, but I think there was obviously a wee bit of a joking by Scott Ross that he wasn't happy either. But you never know. He's probably never going to get another opportunity to get a hat-trick again.
I'm not sure if I was more disappointed Scott Ross was teeing off, whether it was Scott himself or whether it was you that was stood beside him. You weren't happy that Scott was being taken off. And then, as you said, naturally, we got a penalty a couple of minutes later. You were wanting Scott to come back on. And I think that's in the rule book that we can do it. But yeah, look, in all seriousness, I think Scott would get many opportunities to take a, you know, to get a hat-trick. It's one of them. I came for Jordan and Ryan safe for the game. They're trying to protect the players. Guys have got a lot of minutes. Certain ages as well play out a factor as well, but you know, I'm sure Scott would be disappointed he's not had the opportunity. But being the professional that he always is, Scott, I'm sure he's just delighted that the team won the game.
Yeah, that's the thing. The substitutions were made. They weren't just made for the sake of being made. It looks as though as well that they were made for a reason, and that was, you know, to preserve you know, the fitness, make sure nobody was picking up any needless bookings or any needless injuries.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've got two league games this month. We've also got two games in two different cup competitions. You want to be your strongest team. If you kind of make changes when you're 4 or 5 nil up in a league game at home, then, you know, you're not going to be able to make many changes throughout the season. I don't think we're going to get many games where we're that comfortable, you know, at the hour mark. So, yeah, I can see why Scott and some of the guys were taken off, but like I said, I'm sure they're just delighted that the team got the 3 points.
I know it's a poor Elgin side, but it's that cliche thing, you can only beat fuzz in front of you kind of thing. And I don't think there was anybody in that side in that game that had a quiet game or was off, and everybody played, you know, to a standard that we now expect.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think Jordan and Ryan said it over the summer that there's a standard they want to set. And yeah, you can only beat what's put in front of you. I did think Elgin were poor, but you can only beat Fitz there. And you never know, goal difference could be crucial come the end of the season. So the fact that we've kept going, we've gotten, you know, 6 goals, it's another clean sheet for the guys' confidence. But yeah, it was a really, really poor Elgin side. You got a feel for the fans that have travelled. I can, there'll be other fans across the country that travel as well to see their team, and they play well, but that is a poor Elgin side that I've seen.
That's Kieran Shanks now with 6 goals in 6 games, having gone the previous 6 games with just the 1 goal. So, as I said earlier, we're now starting to see that confidence in him as well. But I think as well, you know, playing in that role where he is just getting in the areas, he's not sort of having to worry about trying to hold up the play or try to make runs, you know, wide or anything like that. He's in and around there as well. And, you know, he's got 7 goals overall for the season, 3 assists in his 12 games. So, you know, he's contributing to the team, which we thought he would be.
Yeah, again, confidence a massive thing for a striker. Once you start getting the feel for them goals, you know, you get hungry for it and you want it even more. The fact that he's allowed just to sort of hover in and around the box area, he doesn't need to be chasing balls down the flanks, leave that to your wingers. I think, obviously, with Rory coming in, it'll be a massive boost to him as well. He can learn a lot from him. And you see the two of them linking up. I think the link-up's getting better and better as the games go by. I think a settled team that Ryan and Jordan have now got sort of helps as well. He doesn't need to do a lot of chasing. He can just bide there, and he's getting the reward for it.
It's been an impressive month. Played 5, won 4, just that one loss against Stranraer at the beginning of the month. 3 clean sheets, as I said. Scored 12, just 3 goals against. I mean, after that sort of blip of, you know, the back-to-back losses earlier on, they've gotten over that. And I think they've recognised as well that the too much tinkering, especially with the formations, hasn't worked, and they've stuck with what they know, and they're playing in a style and a fashion that is going to get them a lot of these wins.
I love the fact that this season we can call a blip just 2 games, because that's really what it's been with this last season, my word. But yeah, as you said, they've now got a settled side. I think they maybe tried the Stranraer game to try something different, and they were quick. Jordan admitted in the post-match interview they were quick to realise that, you know, it didn't work. They'll learn from it. We've got to remember, these guys are learning their trade as well. There will be mistakes, there will be things that go wrong, but it's how you react and deal with that mistake that's come up to, you know, will really show how we benefit from it and see how Ryan and Jordan adapt as coaches.
Well, we do our end of season awards, and I think this will be obviously one of the games we'll look at and say this could be, you know, performance of the season. I mean, there are probably 2 or 3 more to come. I genuinely think that, you know, score lines like 4-0, 5-0, 6-0, I'm not saying they're going to be regular, but I think we're going to see them more often this season than we've obviously seen in the last few seasons.
I think so. I think we've got a squad, like we've said, and I've advocated for a while now. We've got the quality in it. And now that we've got the confidence, again, I mentioned it, clean sheets, we're scoring goals, it all breeds confidence for the players, and, you know, you get a taste for it and you want to keep going. And I'm sure we will see games where we are scoring 3 or 4. If you've got a defence as tight as what we've got just now, then, yeah, we'll win more games than we'll lose.
So let's get some of your comments that came through after the game. Obviously, quite a few come through, so we'll get through some of them. Gary Shantz, clean sheet and pleased they kept going for the goals. Goal difference could make all the difference when it gets down to the nitty-gritty. And I think it was exactly what you were saying earlier on. There's no point in sort of taking your foot off the gas in a league that could be potentially so tight that, you know, you are relying on goal difference.
Yeah, you don't want to worry about goal difference. You want to claim that you've done everything in your power. And the fact that we kept going even at 3-0 up when you thought the game was almost, you know, it was won, they've kept going, we've got 6, and, you know, worthy winners.
Sure, Fraser, mad to think that we've matched our points total for last season already in just 8 games. 4 more goals and we've hit the goals target as well. Karen Smith, great to see 4 different goal scorers for the 6 goals. Again, and that's something we've looked at as well. It's that the goals are coming from all parts of the team rather than just being relying on one person or 2 people.
Yeah, we identified last season when we previewed games that if there's a striker that's scoring goals, you try and nullify the ball into him, and he's ineffective. And the fact that we've got goal scorers from different areas of the park, it makes us a very difficult team to play against.
Andrew Bell, nothing bad to say at all after the first goal, 2 minutes to the last, absolutely brilliant, deserved the win. Top of the league and we deserved it. Rosie Cow, it was an amazing match, all played fantastic, like a proper team. Louise Cardinal, great result against a very average Elgin side, but goals were well taken. Great to see some great football on dominant result. Danny Strachan stood out again today, along with Rory and McCarthy especially. Scott Ross deserved to stay on and push for his hat-trick. Loads of positives and a boost for our lads heading to 4 for next week. Can't wait. Sean Beattie, brilliant performance, best since East Fife away. Some really good goals. Standout players were McKee, Shanks and Danny, all class. Jackie Stephen, Peterhead were fantastic. Stamped our authority at the very beginning. Great game to watch. 3 points on top of the league, onwards and upwards. Neil Thompson, not only a great team performance, but the whole squad involved did well. Now we have to hit the top. Teams are going to be wary of us, but ourselves. But it's up to ourselves to kick on and show up that we are up for it. And an interesting point that there, obviously, now that we've played everybody, well, once we've played for next week, we'll have played everybody. Everybody will know about us now, and we've now got that sort of target on our back. But I don't think it'll be anything different from what we'd previously said. You know, teams will come up to Balmore especially and look to sit in.
Yeah, I don't think teams will change. I think teams coming up here, unless they are, I would say, the likes of a Dumbarton or an East Fife, I think most teams will come up and try and be difficult to break down and try and force their way into the game. Whereas we need to be that team that's dominant and on the front foot and trying to break teams down. I think last season we were too scared to attack teams because we didn't have the quality, whereas this year we've got quality and abundance throughout the squad, and it's up to us to go and showcase that on the pitch.
Peter Harris still in shock. Long time coming, good possession game without too much hoofball. But what is that awful noise on the speakers when we score now? I'm afraid we have to get 90 deal with us. I'm afraid you'll have to speak to Graham McLean about that one. I think he was trying something different on Saturday. Maybe different. It seemed to be different songs for different goal scorers.
To be fair, we did say to each other, we hadn't scored that many goals in such a long time that Graham's going to be run out of songs to play. But he kept finding them, so fair play to him.
Wayne Simpson, great result for the team. Brilliant to see a few different scorers on the score sheet. Roll on four for our way next Saturday. And there's a few like men like that as well. It seems to be everybody's actually looking forward to their to the Saturdays now. You know, after what happened last season, everybody's looking forward to the games. They're actually looking forward to away trips now as well.
Yeah, performances have gotten much better. The management team, I think, have got it right at the moment with the balance and the style of play they want to go for. Last season, Saturdays came round, and it was a thought at times going to Balmore because you knew what team was going to play, you knew how we're going to play, and you could almost anticipate what the result would be. Whereas it's the complete opposite now. You look forward to your Saturday, you look forward to going to the game, watching the team perform. And yeah, just overall around the club, there's a good atmosphere on and off the park.
So we moved up to top if there's Stenny had dropped points against Clyde, sitting on 16 points. One more game before the quarter finishes, as I said, against the Forfar. And you look at it, if we're anything sort of between 17 and 19 points, I think for each quarter, I think we're going to do pretty well. I think we'll be there or thereabouts. You know, so we're looking at, you know, if we pick up minimum a point against the Forfar or a win, we're well on our way to where we want to be at the end of each quarter.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously the pre-season review predictions by most folk were that Peterhead wouldn't have been a successful season. I think if we get something, you know, if we remain top on Saturday by getting something at Forfar and results go our way, then I think most people would have bitten your hand off for it. I came the objective by Ryan and Jordan is to get back, get promoted at the first time of asking. Easier said than done, but you know, if you're top of the table after the first quarter and the first round of fixtures, you give yourself a fantastic platform to build on.
Yeah, if you're going to, as I said, if you've got average around about 17 and 19 points each time, you know, that's going to be really difficult for anybody to try and beat.
I think if we're averaging 17 points per quarter, I cannot see any team getting more than that over the season to be the champions of League Two. So yeah, if we can sort of keep these results up, you take one game at a time, that's very cliched, but I'm sure that Ryan and Jordan are going to be getting carried away, same as they didn't get deflated by a defeat. And I'll just be keeping everybody focused that, you know, yes, we're top of the table, but lots still to go. But yeah, so far, they've been really, really good.
So we have mentioned his name quite a few times already over the course of the episode so far. So it's maybe worth looking at him in a little bit more kind of detail, and that is obviously Joe McKee, who has come into the side in the summer and has really sort of stamped his authority on the team line already. I pick up one comment for Andrew Moyer, who said that 70% of the water is, the world is covered with water, the other 30% is covered by Joe McKee, and I think that pretty much just sums up how good he has been in the last sort of three or four games. Now he's in the starting lineup. Well, obviously we're not getting a full 90 minutes out of him yet, but you know every sort of week we're getting 50 minutes, 60 minutes, 65. You know, next week it could be 70%, but he really has been a joy to watch without being, you know, one of those bells and whistles players. He just gets on with his game and already a player I think we would miss if he's out of the team.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head on Saturday. So he's a real voice of a player. Really, really good at what he does. He does the simple things really, really well. And that can't be understated. And every team needs that sort of player that doesn't look for the glory. He's quite happy to be successful for the team. We mentioned we went to the Aberdeen B side game and Joe McKee started that game. And we said at half time, he hasn't lost the ball once. But it was never just backwards and square passes. He was trying to affect the game in a positive manner. And I thought he was brilliant then. Really watched him for about 5-10 minutes in detail. His positional play, his awareness fits around about him. He's always scanning. And it sounds a really simple thing to do, but to be a really good player, you've got to be aware of your surroundings. You've got to know what you're going to do before your opponent does. And I think he does it really well. As you said, we're not quite getting 90 minutes out of him yet. And I'm sure that'll come in time. But, you know, what we are getting out of him, even if it's 55, 65 minutes, is a really, really good player. And I think him being there also allows Andy McCarthy to be a better player as well. And, you know, the two things together is a successful recipe.
He just turned 30 last year. He's got lots of experience. Played for Burnley, Bolton, Morton, Carlisle, Falkirk, Dumbarton twice, Queen of the South. He's got bags of experience. And he's the kind of guy, I guess, as well, that, you know, looks like Jack Brown, Hamish Ritchie as well, to an extent. Even, you know, maybe Danny Strachan or Jordan Armstrong, different positions, but younger guys, they can learn a bit of professionalism from him as well.
Yeah, like we said, we've got that blend, I think, pretty well in the squad. We've got experienced players, we've got younger players, and they've got that balance and blend really, really good. And I think that's maybe something that Ryan and Jordan looked at the start of the season, where do we need to prove? But they've got to get the right player. And I think they mentioned that a few times throughout the course of the summer, that just because our player was available didn't necessarily mean that they were wanting him or that they were interested. It had to be the right sort of player. And I think his personality as well, he's pretty infectious in the dressing room. He's a really good guy. And yeah, he comes across well, and you can see that on the pitch.
His set pieces as well are just so, you know, night and day compared to what we're used to. And set pieces can be a big thing these days for teams to, you know, break down opposition players and opposition teams, where you might have a tight game. Defensively, they're doing well, really well. One really good ball in for a corner or a free kick might be the difference. And he's got that, you know, three of the goals came for set pieces for him.
Regular listeners of the podcast will claim that we have bemoaned that for a number of years now. Is, you know, attacking set pieces, we seem to be really, really bad at it. And it's something, when you've got that win factor and you can get used to it, it can really be a really good weapon for you. Hey, somebody can take free kicks and corners. And we've now got that with Joe McKee. As you said, 3 of the 4 goals to start the game on Saturday was from a Joe McKee assist at a set piece. So, I mean, as you said, it's so important, but there's teams that actually hire set-piece coaches in the top divisions and the top teams. So the fact that we've got somebody like Joe putting in these crosses and whipping balls in, yeah, can't be underestimated. A real, real good player.
And he can only get better, really, in terms of his match fitness. You know, so, you know, if he can keep somebody like Hamish Ritchie, the team, you know, he's come off the bench in the last 3 games and got 3 goals. But you know, Joe McKee's doing the work in the early stages of the game to get us in a position where we can rely on players coming off the bench, and we can take him off because we're in so much control of the game as well.
Yeah, so two things. If that's a 3-quarter fit Joe McKee, really excited to see if he's like, for his fully fit, can give you 90 minutes. And the flip side of that is, if Joe has been playing for 70-odd minutes and you can bring Hamish Ritchie on with his quality and his pace and his trickery against a tiring defence, then again, it's a win-win for us. And I'm sure Hamish doesn't want to be playing every game coming off the bench. But in his last three games, he's got three goals coming from the bench. So it seems to be working. I don't know, I can't put Jordan and Ryan are saying to Hamish at the moment that, you know, you're on the bench again for the third week, but you've scored. But, you know, it seems to be a balance that's working.
Yeah, and that might come into the contract negotiations for Hamish as well.
Well, never know.
Which hopefully is still going on. But, you know, I mean, that's the quality of player that we can now get, like Joe McKee, and there are a few other standouts that's come in the summertime. And it just shows you the difference between, you know, maybe Lexa Ryan and Jordan knowing the league, knowing the players that's round about them, and where David Robertson maybe went wrong last season.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, transfers are night and day to what it was last season. I think personalities in the dressing room as well is a big, big thing these days. Got in mind they're training twice a week and they meet up on a match day. And whilst nay everybody will get on in the dressing room, I think you can see now the difference when the players are together compared to what it was last season. There was big divides within the camp, whereas this season everybody seems to get on with everyone. And, you know, we benefit from that in the park on a Saturday as well.
Yep, so that's Joe McKee. So hopefully we have the jinxed him and these sort of performances carry on for the remainder of the season, because he has been a really good signing and he's made it look so easy as well. So a couple of questions have come in. Simple one here for Neil Thompson. Can the players keep up the standard? I think the simple answer to that is yes. And the second part of that would be, I don't think Ryan and Jordan will let them slip either. And I think that's a big thing. Ryan, the Q&A made that perfectly clear. That, you know, when they set standards, that's the standards they expect to have. And you know, quite rightly, we're now at a stage where that's the performances that they're going to put in. That's the performances that we as fans will be expecting as well.
Yeah, I think they certainly, like I said, they've got the quality in the side to be able to maintain them standards, and Ryan and Jordan, I'm sure, will not allow it to slip. I can't even, their standard of training is really high, it's quite intense, and they expect it to be that way. They expect how you train to be how you play, and I think that comes through in a match day. You see how often last season we didn't start the games well in the opening 15-20 minutes, whereas this season we've always been in the game within the opening 15-20 minutes. So it is different, it's a new set of players, but everybody had to be on board with it. That's what Ryan and Jordan said at the start of the season, they weren't just going to take people for the sake of it, and yeah, it's paying off so far.
I'm not expecting us to beat every team 5 or 6-0, but what I'm saying is, you know, we know that the performances are there, we know what to expect. And if there's any sort of doubts that's the standards are going to slip, I don't think that they're going to allow that to happen.
There will be times, obviously, we'll lose more games this season. There'll be blips along the way. But when they've got that standard set, that will be the standard that they expect throughout the rest of the season. It will not always be, you know, roses in the garden, but it's... what they do, like I said, when they make a mistake, how they react to it. Once we get a defeat, how do we bounce back? You don't want one to then become 2 and 3. You want to get back on the horse really quickly and, you know, get that 3 points. And I'm sure Ryan and Jordan will be expecting it as well.
Slightly more complex one for Scott Reid. Noticing that Buckenhaven Hearts have signed a few more local lads, is this a market that we could be looking at after they have been there for a couple of seasons, or should we be signing them first and then putting them on loan? I think that the simple answer is it's probably not a market we're looking at the moment, because I don't think we've got the youth set up to be bringing in young players at that kind of age, whereas I think the Hertys can bring them in and enhance them a little bit. And then maybe we can then look at that and say, right, we'll take him to Peterhead Canal.
Yeah, I think especially the Aaron situation going to Hertys is slightly different to most that you'll get around about here. I don't think we've quite got the infrastructure in place at the moment to be able to do it, where everything's fully focused on trying to get back into League One. Ryan and Jordan have admitted over the summer that they have contacted the local clubs in the area and, you know, spoken about players. And I'm sure it's something they're, you know, fully on board and would work with clubs. But at the moment, I don't think it's quite feasible to be able to do.
I think if we had a youth team or an under-20s, under-18s, whatever you want to call it, then you'd probably be looking at trying to bring in a lot of these players, like say, the Peterhead Boys Club, for example, bringing them in and trying to develop them in a certain way and seeing where it takes them. Whereas I think if you're bringing in 16, 17-year-olds, even 15, 16-year-olds at this stage, I don't think that's going to help them at all. Ireland, as you said, is maybe a slightly different kettle of fish because I think they've got high expectations of them, for them, I should say, for maybe later on this season or maybe next season.
Yeah, I think certainly over the next couple of years, we will see that gap being bridged, however the club decide to go about it. I think they will look to maybe put something in place. I think I'm not saying there's a big gap between the likes of Peterhead and the Heritage, but as a 15, 16-year-old, 17 even, you'd be looking to go into a club maybe in between.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not quite ready to play, I don't know what I call it, men's football, but as we mentioned with Aaron, there's a big difference between a 17-year-old coming into the team and a 19, 20-year-old. But yeah, I'm sure it's something over the next couple of years, the club, especially Ryan and Jordan at helm, will try and bridge that gap.
Okay, so let's get on to Saturday's game then, away to Forfar, which will, as we said, is the last game of this quarter. So by the time the game's over, we'll have played everybody. And I guess the simple way to look at this game is, if you're looking at the team selection, must be the easiest team selection they're probably going to have, barring any injuries through the week or anything like that, because why would you change a winning team, especially after the performance on Saturday?
Yeah, apart from any injuries, I certainly wouldn't be changing the team. They're full of confidence. And you just go to them and say, more of the same again. I don't see any reason to change it. If it ain't broke, you don't need to try and fix it. And we've said that Ryan and Jordan are trying to get continuity within their team selections. So yeah, I think this would probably be one of their easier ones to do on Saturday.
Yeah, and the fact that Jordan's not picking himself at the minute, it would be easy for him to say, no, I'm going to play here, but they've got the best interest of the team, and I think, as you said, the way that we're playing, nobody's dropping their standards at all. There's no reason why you should be looking at changing the lineup at all.
Yeah, and I mean this in the best possible way. I'm delighted at Jordan's not playing because he's able to look at the game from the sideline. I think that the defensive partnership with Jason and Ryan's working really, really well. Wouldn't want to change that unless, Ryan was feeling the effects of a couple of games with injury or anything. But, you notice that with Jordan's substitutions on Saturday, 5 made, and again, he didn't feel the need to bring himself on. He's very much a team player, and he's just looking out for himself and thinking, well, I can play myself and I want to play. He's looking at the bigger picture and seeing who's the best team for that game. And yeah, we see him on Saturday, he was stripped, he was ready to play if he was called upon, but he chose the other 5 guys ahead of him, so a real team player.
Forfar at the moment, just the 1 win all season in the league, 5 draws, that's the most of any team in the league, I think equal with Spartans, and 3 of those draws have been 0-0s as well, so in terms of entertainment, you're not going to get much from it if you're a Forfar fan, but difficult to break down, I think. But on the flip side, I don't think, without sounding overly confident, I don't think they're going to cause us too much problems in an attacking sense.
Yeah, no, with that stats, I think exactly the same. I think it will be a tight affair unless you score early and they have to try and come out a wee bit. I think they'll go all guns blazing even at home. I think they'll realise that we've got a real threat on our side nowadays. I think they'll want to keep it tight. They'll realise the damage that we did to Elgin by scoring 2 early goals. But I don't think that it'll be a high scoring game.
They're one of, I think, 4 teams that are at the bottom of all look as though they cut off at the minute, but there is that threat that they could well be cut adrift even at this early stage already. So anything other than a win for them might just see them look at the league table and there's a gap already. I think there's 4 points between the bottom 4, but there's 5 points between the top 6, and there's a gap between the sixth and seventh already. So we shouldn't be complacent, but there's no reason why we shouldn't be going down there full of confidence and thinking that 3 points is going to be the case again.
If you have any hopes of winning a League Two title or even finishing minimum in the playoffs, going away to a mid-table side, you'd be expecting a win. Different if you're playing up against a team that's second and third in the division. But I think with the result we've just had, even going back to the Barton game, that confidence, you know, it's going to be as high as it's ever been in the camp just now. And I've seen no reason why we shouldn't have been there. Maybe being complacent, but being confident. I think there is a fine line, but I'm sure Ryan and Jordan will hear that drilled into them over the next couple of training sessions to tomorrow and Thursday, that, you know, use that confidence you got for the Hogan game, but certainly don't be complacent.
I don't think there's any reason why, as I said, we shouldn't be going down there and being confident. But we should be good. It's all about us kind of dictating the play for the very beginning as well. It would be interesting to see how far for sort of look at this game. Do they think it's sort of like we're going to try and contain them? And if that's the case, then you know it's different for what we're used to. So we should be going doing there and trying to stamp our authority on the game pretty quickly.
Oh, absolutely. I think we've got to be in the front foot. I don't think you can go and score six at home and then try and be wary of an away game. I think you've got to just tackle it as it is. Each game on its own merit. They'll look at the options that Forfar possess in their team and try and work out the best way to go about it. Maybe a slight tweak here and there, but certainly nothing drastic. But yeah, they'd be expecting us to play in the front foot, you know, and really have a go at them.
I think their main threat will be Seb Ross. Obviously, he's a known name up here. And he's been quite a threat this season. I think he's got three or four goals already. So I think he'll be the threat. Other than that, I can't see anybody else. It's going to cause us too much problems.
No, I don't think, well, I mean, like you said, without being complacent or anything, I wouldn't be expecting to hey. A difficult afternoon against Forfar. I think that could come back to haunt us. Like I said, with the defence being as solid as what they have been in recent weeks, I'd be expecting to go down there and put on a really confident showing.
This is really weird, being really confident getting into games these days. It's just this doesn't seem right at all.
It's a wee bit eerie, but you know, it's really fine that we're able to speak positively and how things are going this season, because obviously, you know, it was a massive challenge last year, shall we say, and the rubbish that we've seen in the park at times, but you know, this season it's complete night and day to what we had last year.
Right, now on the Blue Team podcast to discuss Saturday's game down at Forfar from the Oer Mer Mert podcast, if I think I've got that right, is Logan Hutchison. Logan, how was my pronunciation?
Well, we rehearsed it, but you've absolutely butchered it, even worse than I do. It's the It's Oer Mer podcast, all about Forfar Athletics. So
there you go. And my apologies to anybody Faye Forfar who is listening. I did absolutely make a complete dog's dinner of it, but hey, well. Logan, thanks for coming on. How are things with you at the moment?
Yeah, well, footballing wise, things have been better. A really poor start to the season, but in general, all good, yeah.
Poor start to the season, but I think you had a pretty decent League Cup campaign. I think you won 3 or 4. So, obviously, maybe optimistic maybe sort of blind optimistic optimism going into the league campaign.
Well, I'm not sure it was blind optimism, because genuinely we were excellent in the League Cup, and it's easy to get swept away. Two of the games were derbies. We beat Arbroath and Montrose, and we did that quite comfortably, to be honest. And I was thinking, oh, you know, we could take some stopping here, but very quickly teams have found out how to stop us. I don't really know what the drop-off has been, but I'm one of those who likes to get carried away, so I had our name engraved on the title before the season had started.
Yeah, there's a few sort of, I wouldn't say strange predictions, but there's a few that are looking back on them already thinking, oh, that was completely wrong.
Well, I am an eternal optimist. I don't think it's out of the question, but, you know, we've drawn 5 games so far, and they very, very quickly need to turn into wins if we're going to be anywhere near the promotion hunt.
Yeah, and at 5 draws, and I think 3 of them have been 0-0 as well.
Yeah, and the thing about that is our defence is very, very good. Well, our defence is very, very good when it doesn't have Andy Munro in it. When it does, it's just good. He's been a bit of a bomb scare this season. He probably has been for 2 years, which is unlike him because he's been a very solid centre-half throughout his career, but he's been poor. But Stuart Morrison, Matty Allen and Adam Hutchison with Roberto Ndidi is a backline that I think can rival anyone in the league. Excellent players all over it, and it doesn't feel like we're going to concede too many goals. Only Dumbarton have put three past us, and that was a bit of a fluke. I think it was. It's not happened too often. But things at the other end of the park have taken a bit of time to gel, which I wasn't expecting, but we've brought in a lot of new players, a lot of new players. I know a lot of teams have had squad turnover, but when you're looking at the front line, there's not a player who was there last season. So maybe it is just early season taking time to gel, but it's tough to say at the minute.
And you've still got one of the players who I regard as one of the better goalkeepers in the lower leagues in Scotland, Mark McCollum, and he's been there a few seasons now. Still as good as he's ever been.
Well, absolutely. He had a bit of a moment against Spartans where he conceded an indirect free kick for picking the ball up twice, which caught us all off guard. But no, he's an unbelievable goalkeeper. And the defence in front of him, to be fair, hasn't kept him too busy. So we drew 1-1 with East Fife at the weekend, and they only had one shot on target the whole game, and it was Alan Troughton plopping the ball into the top corner. So I think with the back line and Mark, we're not going to concede a lot of goals. Hopefully, I say that now. I know you just scored 6 and you'll be fine. But hopefully we can keep McAllister and Cole quiet on Saturday.
If we've got one more game before the quarter finishes. If you were to give an assessment of Forfar so far, regardless of what Saturday's result would be, what would you say the grading would be?
Well, massively, massively underwhelming. You know, I think it has to go down as a D, maybe an F if you're being overly critical, because we were, you know, favourites for the title. And I don't think any of us, after what was such a good League Cup campaign, seen this start coming. But when I look at the 5 draws, maybe with the exception of Clyde, you know, we could have gone on to win those games. Maybe should have gone on to win those games. And if we had won a few of those games and we'd only lost 2, I think we'd be in a very different position. So hopefully, you know, things can start to turn around soon. But it needs to happen fast, because pressure, Ray McKinnon, a bit of a coup coming in last season, did very well to sift us away from the danger after what was a horrible start last season too. But pressure's going to mount on his head if it doesn't turn around very quickly.
And you probably haven't seen anybody so far that you thought they've absolutely blown us away. Maybe the games have been a lot tighter. You maybe just haven't been taking your chances.
Yeah, I mean, the teams that have beaten us, Dumbarton and Bonnyrigg, we were beating Dumbarton for probably 60 minutes, I think, or something along those lines. And very much in the game, you know, felt like we might have been on top. And then defensive errors, which, like I said, are rare with this team, came in and they blew us away. Bonnyrigg, we were very, very, very poor. And they seem to have our number. We've played 4 games. They've won 3 and we've drawn 2. And they don't look a very good side at all. I never think that. But they're streetwise and they know how to get results. Mm-hmm. Certainly, I don't think anybody's blown us away. But the past, you know, the positives you can take is that we're on a 4-game unbeaten run. 3 of them have been draws. But the past, I'll say 2.5 games, have been much more positive. The second half against Spartans, we were good. We should have won that game. We had chances to win it after what was a very poor first half. Stranraer were excellent, completely in control, and won the game comfortably. They deserved to do so. And again, against these 5, you know, they had 1 shot on target. We had 4 or 5, 9 shots to their 3, I think it was. So we were in control of that game, but just couldn't get ourselves over the line.
You look at Saturday's game, how do you see it going? What do you expect? Do you expect a tight game?
Well, naturally, after you've just won 6-0 to go top of the league, I'm a bit terrified. But I can't see you putting 6 past us. I think it will be tight. I think I want to say a draw, but then the draws have got to start turning into wins. So I'm hopeful. that we can get a result. And I'm not... there would have been a time when I was absolutely terrified of Rory McAllister. Like I said, we played Montrose in the League Cup and our defence handled him very, very comfortably. So I'm not too scared of your side. I don't think I'm too scared of any sides in the division. But I don't think any sides are scared of us right now, so...
There's a lot of folk kind of have said that since Rory's come back, or that, you know, when we were as scared of him as what we used to be. But in, on the flip side of things, we've got a side where there's goals throughout the team. You know, we've got Hamish Ritchie, Kieran Shanks, Jack Brown, all these kind of players that they can pop up with goals. So I think people sort of maybe get sucked into thinking that Rory McAllister's the Rory McAllister of 5-6 years ago, which he definitely is now.
Yeah, no, I agree. And goals throughout the team were such a big part of our League Cup campaign. Josh Skelly's our main striker, and he's come up from the juniors, and he did very well in the League Cup campaign, and then he got a bit of a knock and has had a slow start to the season. So the goals were coming from elsewhere in the League Cup campaign for us. Kieran Ingles was chipping in. Seb Ross got a few. Indeed, he got one. But that seems to have dried up. You know, and we've been tinkering with the system. We've changed from a 3 or a 5 back to we've gone to a 4-3-3, which is allowing us to be a bit more creative, get a bit more meat in the midfield, but we still look very lightweight in the midfield, and it is a bit of a concern because I think, like I say, the defence is good, things are, look like they're starting to click up front, and then it looks like there's something missing in midfield.
Is Seb Ross the sort of main threat for you guys at the minute?
Well, Seb Ross has been out the team for the last 2 games. The front three has been Skelly, Patterson and McLeod on loan from Dundee United, who's looked really good since he came in. He's obviously still, he's 17, so he's very raw, but he looks like he's destined for a level above League Two. And Patterson, again, is another one who's come from the juniors. Lockheed United, we signed him from. And he's been, he has talent. You can see this talent there. He scored from 35 yards against Stranraer, lobbing the keeper. It was an excellent finish, and he got an assist in that game as well. So maybe they're taking their time to adjust to what is undoubtedly a big step up from the junior game, and things look like they're starting to click. Seb Ross is a danger man, and I think he might start at the weekend. I'm not judging that on anyone, but I feel like he might start in the front three for either McLeod or Patterson. But he, to me, is better in the number 10 position, and he's a bit wasted playing him out wide. And I know McKinnon doesn't want to have wide players. He wants to be a bit narrower and let Ndidi and whether it's Matty Allen or Callum Moore do the work on the wing from fullbacks. But we seem to run out of ideas sometimes when we get caught into that middle. And Seb Ross is somebody who can change a game at the drop of a hat, but equally he can go missing just the same.
Is this a game that you think the first goal could be massive?
Well, I think right now we are 4 games unbeaten, but I think confidence is low. I don't think we'll roll over if we lose the first goal, but I think if we get the first goal, we can go on to get another, and you know, we have trust in our defence that we can go on and win. And it feels like if we get the first goal, we will win games. And I know we've only won one, so maybe that's me being an optimist again, but certainly, if we get the first goal, you feel much more comfortable about your position, and I feel like we're going to win the game if we do.
And in terms of, you know, you're sort of near rolling over, but fighting and still being in the game, are you optimistic that you could maybe turn a game round at this stage, or is it still a case that, you know, if you do go behind, a point would probably be a decent result?
I think we're past the stage where a point is a decent result, to be honest. We need to win games. But a common theme throughout McKinnon's tenure, and maybe even before that, has been a really poor first half, followed by a much improved second half. I don't know why that is. I can't put my finger on it. A lot of us have been scratching our heads. And it led to us being 2-1 down to Spartans. We were 1-0 down at the weekend. And we've been behind quite a few times and come back. So it's not, I do feel like we can fight back. We tend to be a much better team in the second half, frustratingly, because I feel like if we could put those performances in for 90 minutes, we'd not be far away. But Yeah, certainly. I feel like we could, if we can put a 90-minute performance together, we'll be doing well.
Right, before we wrap things up, then, what's your score prediction going to be?
Well, like I said, the easy answer is a draw. The draws have to turn into wins, and I'm going to go for 2-0 for us.
2-0, very
humbling you after your
6-0 win. I was going to say, after our 6-0, to give us a no goals is quite optimistic. Logan, thanks very much for coming on. Thanks very much for your time. We will catch up again, no doubt, throughout the course of the season, and I will go away and start practicing the name of your podcast before I butcher it again next time. But appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. Thank you very much.
And that is it for this week. We do hope you have enjoyed it. My thanks goes to Forfar fan Logan Hutchinson for joining me to preview Saturday's game, and of course to Martin Smith for joining me. A big thank you to everyone for listening and for your comments and questions. Do keep them coming in. We do appreciate them. Martin and I will be back again next week. So until then, stay safe, and we'll see you all again very soon.